Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom. Welcome to Olive Branch International Ministries, Late Night in the Word, coming to you over Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio telephone number is 347-850-1420. If you'd like to make note of that, I'll say it once again. It's 347-850-1420. Feel free to give us a call if you have a question during our teaching this evening, or if you have a comment. Let us know that you're there, and let us know that you're listening. We know you're out there, because many of you do contact us offline and let us know. Tonight, we're here in the studio with Pastor Keith Brooks.
Shalom, shalom.
And we've got Avery Irving.
Shalom, shalom.
We've got Brandon Wheeler.
Shalom, shalom.
And I am Robert Rodriguez. At the top of the hour, we're going to be switching over to the Olive Branch International Ministries radio. And the phone number there is 631-533-4099. If you'd like to contact us via phone, or if you prefer to do it via email, you can contact us via email at olivebranchonline.org. That's olivebranchonline.org. And let me just say that one more time, because it's actually contact at olivebranchonline.org. Without any further ado, I'd like to turn that over, the program over, to Pastor Yahweh, so we can get started in our studies this evening.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. Again, the phone number, 631... Excuse me, our Blog Talk radio number, 347-850-1420. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm just going to jump right in tonight, because I've been thinking about some things that I've been studying, but I'm going to jump off of something Pastor Weintraub has been bringing up a lot recently. If you're unfamiliar with Olive Branch Ministries, we are out of Acworth, Georgia, which is a little suburb outside of Atlanta, Northwest. And we are a Hebraic Roots ministry. And for those of you who don't understand Hebraic Roots, it's not a denomination. It's a way of approaching the Scriptures. And approaching the Scriptures is very important, your perspective. There is something moving on the earth in this age which I really like, and that's a restoration of the true heart of the writer of the Bible, the Jewish heart of the Bible, the Middle Eastern heart of the Bible, and not the arrogance of the West and denominational stances. I think it's so important, if you're going to be an honest student of the Word, you have to come at the Scriptures, whether you're Gentile or Jewish, from the heart of the writer. You have to put yourself in the first century and further back than that, because the prophets and the writers of the Old Testament were also Israelites. Some of them weren't even technically, I guess they all were. I was thinking of Abraham, but he's not a writer. Moses is the first writer, and he's an Israelite. He's not even referred to as Jewish in his age. And coming with that, you have to understand him. One of the things we've been doing in our studies here is talking about Paul, and Pastor Weintraub has been trying to do his best to establish a really strong connection to Paul, the man, and what his perspectives were, and where he came from, and why he thought the way he thought, and what shaped that thinking. And one of the things about the modern era, for those of you who don't like to study history, is that the church fathers separated themselves from the roots of Israel, because they were people that like to proclaim the Gentile reality. They separated themselves from Paul in the sense that he was Jewish and he was a Pharisee. And they created a new religion that he started, because in their estimation, in their interpretations of Scripture, he had decided that Jewishness, being Jewish, being Israelite, had been done away with by Christ on the cross and by grace. And I find it very interesting when I hear believers try and separate the grace of God from the Scriptures and from the Israeli root, from the roots of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, from the root of Moses, and from the root of the Mosaic law and the Davidic covenants, and try and remove grace as if grace now was the intention of God from the very beginning, and it got shackled by the law somehow and wrestled to the ground, and that rascally Judaism destroyed it and kept it in bondage until Jesus set it free on the cross. I find that just the most ludicrous idea when you start studying the Scriptures to elevate grace so far above anything of the Old Testament is chaos in my estimation, because the very essence of grace is not some kind of power source for humanity, although it is. It's the very essence of God's power. He couldn't have done anything without grace. It's His grace that created. It's His grace that had mercy on Adam and Eve. His grace was willing to sacrifice some animals to make some skins. His grace was willing to give Abel an applause and willing to say to Cain, I don't approve. His grace has always been moving. His grace made the Torah covenants possible. His grace established, whether you believe this or not, His grace established an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, because that was what was necessary in their age. And that's just the way it is. You can argue with me all day long if you want to, but the honest truth is that grace is what makes the word possible, and without grace there is no Torah, and there is no New Testament, and there is no Jesus, and there's no salvation, and there's no mercy, there's no nothing without God moving and deciding in the beginning to extend Himself. Grace is an extension of Himself. And that's the beauty of grace, because if we go to the New Testament, it's by grace you're saved. It's not anything anybody does. The movement of God upon you to bring a revelation of Himself to you so you can understand Him and have an opportunity to see Him. And once you see Him, His grace is there ministering to you and empowering you to take the steps of faithfulness to walk with Him. And grace gives you the capacity to obey. And grace gives you the capacity to love. Grace gives you the capacity to evangelize. There's nothing anyone does. And so, therefore, there's nobody better than anybody else, because grace is making everything happen. It's not one denomination better than the other. It's not one pastor better than the other. It's not one evangelist better than the other. It's not one nationality better than another. We have a lot of little towns in Atlanta. It doesn't matter which town you live in. It doesn't matter if you're Anglo-Saxon or if you're Jewish. Grace is making it possible for you to be alive and recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. Doesn't matter which side of the continent you live on. It doesn't matter if you're from Europe, Russia, China, Africa, Australia, New Guinea, Mexico, South America, Central America, India. It doesn't matter where you're from. Antarctica, if somebody has ever been truly from there.
Penguins.
That's a tip of the hat to one of our members there, if she's listening. Anyway, it's a good thing today to be aware of the truth and to know that grace is the very essence of how you love. In fact, to be filled with grace is to have love. And love in our age is not two things. And this is becoming one of my strong disagreements with the community of Christianity. In our midst and in any other community I've ever been in, and that is that grace does not promote division. There is no disunity in grace, because grace can only preach the gospel of Jesus. And Jesus said, I am one with my Father, and anybody in me is with my Father. So if you're with Jesus, there's only one community. There's not 1,000, 3,000, 30,000, whatever the number is now of Christian denominations. If it's 30, it's actually that just blows my mind. I can't abide that. It bothers me that we are so proud. I don't know how we read the book of the two letters of Corinthians that Paul wrote and have the capacity to justify denominational divisions. I can understand having different callings and being separated unto different movements, but to not be able to function together and to have battle and pride and arrogance and division and jealousy over each other and magnifying your position above another person, it doesn't even fit Paul. And the very act of dividing into denominations because of argumentation is so contrary to Paul and his teachings. I don't know how we got to the place that we've gotten. But having gotten there, now we start to look back and we look at this verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. And it helps me understand something, because I think what we find is that, blog talk didn't get set up correctly tonight, so we only have 40 seconds left. It's a 15-minute show on Blog Talk, so once you hear us go away, head over to olivebranchonline.org. Our phone number over there is 631-533-4099. That's olivebranchonline.org. And in 20 seconds, we will be off the air at Blog Talk Radio. So head over to www.olivebranchonline.org. So go ahead. Somebody read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in